today. That and a whole lot more as we invite you to join us. Keep on tuning in here through the 3 o'clock hour. It is the Gym Class presented by Third Base Brewery coming your way here on KGYM. And welcome into the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, once again here today on the other side of the glass as we get ready to take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Monday. Thank you for tuning in. This has been a strange weather day. We started off with rain, woke me up bright and early this morning. Not bright, it was dark and early.
Yeah.
And then we had sunshine and it looked like yesterday for a while. And then all of a sudden, now we're back to, and now the wind is here. We've got overcast skies and now we're going to have temperatures around 48 tomorrow. So we have seen everything that fall in the state of Iowa has had to offer over the last, 10 hours or so. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and you're so right. And so just get used to it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what you do. It's what you do in Iowa in the fall. Just if you don't like the weather, they say, just wait 10 minutes, it'll change. And that basically was the premise of what happened here today.
And if you don't like the Eagles pick six 1 week, just wait a week, and we'll get to that after a while.
We will get to that. Trust me. We'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. It's locally owned and operated, just like us here at KGYM, and it's a place where families meet up again and again after work, for lunch, or after the day has been completed at work. Just stop on by. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. And Third Base Brewery has been brewing in Cedar Rapids for over 20 years, and they serve up some of the best craft beer in the area. Stop in and try the variety of IPAs they offer, from pale ales to ambers and to stouts. Can't decide on one to try? Take advantage of their famous flights and sample a variety of craft beer that Third Base Brewery has to offer. That's Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blairs Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And good show, as we mentioned, coming up. Mike Halas is going to join us. Not only are we going to talk football with Mike, but we got a lot of basketball to talk about today, as that is probably, it's probably jumped front and center today, as a matter of fact. Yesterday, Iowa basketball picked up a commitment from an Indiana shooting guard, Tony Perkins, 6'4 player out of the Indianapolis area, and averaged, 16.5-ish points per game last year, and chose Iowa over several of the Mid-American schools. And you get a player out of Indiana of his ilk, yeah, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. And then today, the news coming out that the Murray boys, the Murray twins, Keegan and Chris, have given their commitment to play for Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team. Of course, Keegan and Chris graduated a year ago from Cedar Rapids Prairie. They were three-year players for Coach Rickardson and the Hawks over there. Keegan averaged 20.5 points a game. Chris was around 18.5-ish. per game last year, leading Prairie. They were the two leading rebounders for the Hawks as well. Decided not to go to college. They wanted to attend college together, and they will attend college together at Iowa. They went down to a prep academy in Daytona Beach, Florida. Not the IMG Academy that people, when you first think of the state of Florida, usually think. DME, I believe it is called, down in Daytona Beach, Florida, another very good academy, but they are down there. They're going to be playing for that particular institution this year, and then they will be going to Iowa for 2020-2021. Sons of Kenyon Murray, by the way.
Yes, Kenyon Murray, a terrific player at the University of Iowa. And according to Jeff Johnson, Kenyon Murray had to say this about his boys. He said, quote, first of all, to see them realize their dream of playing Division I basketball, as parents, it makes you very happy. Then for them to play at my alma mater is icing on the cake.
Very much so.
I saw the boys play once.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm no expert on them by any means. Again, I saw them once. I think they're very, very nice players. I think they're going to mature. And I guess the bottom line for me remains to be seen how much contribution they will make over the next 3 or 4 years. And obviously, Fran McCaffrey thought they could, or he wouldn't have offered him a scholarship.
And as far as the scholarships are concerned, and Rob Howe had this tweeted out a little bit earlier on. Of course, Rob with Todd and Alex on Fridays with the Big Hour, and does a terrific job covering the Hawkeyes. If right now Iowa has Ryan Kreener as a graduating senior this year, Jordan Bohannon, if he plays, will be a graduating senior. That would be two scholarships open. Assuming that Bohannon sits out this year. That's just assuming he sits out. Iowa will be, at the present time, one over the scholarship limit next year. That has happened times prior, not only for Iowa, but many, many other schools around the country, because you never know if there's going to be somebody leaving, especially in this day and age of the transfer portal and the ins and outs, what have you.
Joe Wieskamp.
First thing people said, okay, that solidifies the fact that Joe Wieskamp is two and done for his career for the Iowa Hawkeyes. He already entered the NBA draft last year and then came out of the NBA draft before the deadline, got the evaluations, knows what he needs to work on, etc. Riley Till went on scholarship last year, the former Dubuque Wallert walk-on. And, well, while Alex and I both said in the sports office today, it would be a bad look, but it has been happened before that a player goes on scholarship and then is off scholarship the next year.
Last I heard, they're one-year renewable scholarships.
Yes. And apparently, again, on Twitter, and take that with a grain of salt, Till was only promised a one-year scholarship. Patrick and Connor are on scholarship for basketball, and perhaps Fran could pay the tuition for one of his sons. There are a lot of things to go around. Then you have the Xavier Foster side of this, the four-star recruit out of Oskaloosa, the seven-footer, who has narrowed his choices down to Iowa among four other schools, which include Iowa State, Baylor, Providence, and the fifth one escapes me at this
Virginia
point.
Virginia Tech, maybe? Something
Virginia
like
Tech,
that.
Thank yeah. you. Virginia Tech. And a lot of people said, all right, well, there goes Xavier Foster. I talked to Kevin Lehman today, our college basketball expert, the coach, and he said, no, that's not necessarily true. From what he knows, that, and others have also reported this as well, that Xavier Foster, Fran was very upfront with Xavier Foster and said, yes, sounds like the Murrays are going to commit, but we still want you. So he's been out in front of all this. Fran has been out in front with all this as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information coming down
the
line
today. A lot of
moving
parts, isn't there?
And
yeah.
a lot of moving parts coming down the line today. Your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600, the Hurtine & Stocker Jeweler text line. Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. And of course, you've got folks out there that are poo-pooing the Murray twins signing with Iowa, or Fran McCaffrey signing Keegan and Chris. I'll say this, I've watched Keegan and Chris for 3 years. They're some of the nicest kids you're ever going to want to meet.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Their game has gotten better each and every year. Used to be they were strictly three-point guys, three-point shooters. Went to the basket a lot more last year. Got a little bit more physical. We're two pretty good rebounders. In fact, led Prairie in rebounding last year.
6'7", 6'8", range.
Yeah,
is that
6'8",
right?
Ish, yeah. Right in there. Mm-hmm. And probably, I know talking with Kenyon said that probably doctors told him it was going to be 6'9 or 6'10 by the time all was said and done. So they're still.
Bonus.
They're still growing out there. I thought perhaps that Fran would go with the route of one scholarship for one, maybe a walk-on for the other, or maybe a walk-on for both. Who knows? But Fran sees enough in Keegan and Chris to offer them a scholarship at this point. Is it a little bit of a risk? Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt it's a little bit of a risk.
It is for any recruit, isn't it?
But for most any recruits, recruit, yeah. Absolutely. And he is banking on the fact that these kids are going to get better and better throughout their basketball careers at the collegiate level, and they're going to be big providers for the Iowa basketball team. That's what Fran McCaffrey is going on right now. And we'll see how it all plays out, I guess.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't think you can poo-poo it at this point. But we'll see.
Yeah, a lot needs to be played out, and from a personal standpoint, they're going to be nothing but a credit to the program because they are solid kids, and that's a credit to Kenyon and his family. These kids grow a lot between freshman and senior year. Look at Ryan Creener.
Oh, yeah.
For example. He's not an all-Big Ten player, but he's certainly a big-time contributor for Iowa, and I don't know if you could have said that when he first came into the program.
Still remember him in the ACC when Marcus Page and the ACC barnstorming team came to Linmar, and Creener came over from Spirit Lake to play in that game. Mm-hmm. And he was a skinny 6'8 kid and has developed nicely into what one of the senior leaders for this team in 2019-2020. Love to hear what you think. 319-366-1600 on the Hurtina Stocker Jeweler text line. And if you want to give us a call as well, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600.
Kenneth on the text line, I like the pickup of the Murray boys. A year to fill out and work on their games will do wonders. Fran likes those long, lean types. They're great kids, too.
They are, and they can run up and down the court, and they can shoot the three. They can shoot the three in a big-time way. Which is, they'll fit in with Fran McCaffrey's offense. Don't think there's any doubt about that. Let's go to Derek in Cedar Rapids, joining us here on the Monday edition of the show. Hi, Derek.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love your show. Listen to you guys every day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Derek.
I just was wondering why Fran and parents, or any head coach for that matter, why would you ever put your kids on scholarship? Wouldn't you be saving a scholarship if you had your kid walk on and pay his own way?
You're talking like Connor and Patrick, right?
Yeah, and then all, you know, when parents' kids all played too. You know, I don't understand why they would put their own kids on scholarship.
Well, I'll
sit back and listen. I just didn't know if maybe there's an NCAA rule that doesn't allow it. You know, I don't know. I'm just wondering your thoughts. Thanks.
All right, appreciate it, Derek. No rule, by the way.
No, in my mind, just because the McCaffreys and Ferences can afford it doesn't mean that they should be obligated or lean that way. I think it's a reward to the kids. You know, Patrick's
a four-star guy.
Exactly, and he earned that scholarship, whether it's Fran and Margaret's son or not. But I get Derek's point. I think some people, you know, think along those terms, right or wrong.
Correct. And there's always, like we said when we opened up this discussion, there is the possibility, if Iowa is won over the scholarship limit, that, say, you know, a Connor or a Patrick, they pay for their school for 1 year, take them off the scholarship. It's not going to hurt anything. That's maybe one scenario that Fran is playing through his mind at one point. We don't know. We don't know what Fran is thinking at this point. He's trying to move the puzzle pieces around, and the biggest piece of them all is down in Oskaloosa at this point.
Right.
And there'll be more movement if Xavier Foster and allegedly is going to announce his decision sometime next month before the high school basketball season starts for the defending 3A champion Oskaloosa Indians. And it'll be interesting to see if Xavier Foster stays in state or heads beyond the borders of the state of Iowa.
7854 on the Hertzine Stocker Jeweler text line. This tells me that Fran missed on a couple higher profile recruits, but I am excited to see how the Murrays develop. And Cyclone Tim, look at Jeff Hornacek. He was going to be a walk-on. That kind of worked out for Iowa State.
There have been stories like that, Tim, everywhere. Jeff Hornacek was a very good example as far as Iowa State is concerned. And yeah, they're all over the place in the world of college basketball. Guys that just get bigger and better and stronger and develop their games and work hard at it. And
Nicholas Bear, a prime example.
There's a great example. Sixth man of the year, probably the best walk-on Iowa's ever had as far as the men's basketball program is concerned. And knowing the work ethic of Keegan and Chris and what the family has given to them as well, I think they're going to work out. Now, are they going to be all Big Ten guys? I'm not saying that. Are they going to be contributors at one point to the Iowa basketball team? I think that will be the case.
8077 on the text line. Isn't Connor on a baseball scholarship playing for Iowa?
I think he's on a basketball scholarship because Rob House going through the 13 scholarships, the way I was counting them, I had Connor counted as one of the 13, and the math worked out. Now, I'm not 100% sure on that, but if that is definitely 13 guys, then Connor is on scholarship for basketball. Baseball has less scholarships to give.
Mm-hmm.
And they have partial scholarships and et cetera, et cetera. If Connor can play baseball and basketball and do it on a basketball scholarship, that helps Rick Heller out. So you can do the math as well. But I know Michael Bear is not on scholarship. I know Ash is not on a scholarship. I know Hobbs is not on a scholarship. Vanderloo is not on a scholarship. So that all works out math-wise. 319-366-1600 here at 320. There was football over the weekend as Iowa beat Purdue. Iowa State with a big win down in Lubbock. UNI put 42 on the board against the Coyotes of South Dakota. We'll take a break, come back, talk a little football with you. Mike Halas is going to join us in about 12 minutes or so as well. Monday edition of the Gym Class coming away, presented by Third Base Brewery here on KGYM.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game and all the Smart Rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock from Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Get ready, Kennedy. This is the gym, Scott Unash. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming to you live Thursday at 3. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Back with you at 3:23 on the gym class on this Monday on KGYM. We got the Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way tonight for you. That will be at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. Monday Night Football coming your way. The Patriots and the JETS Jets tonight from the Meadowlands. And that will be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM at 7 o'clock this evening. You have Connor McCaffrey scholarship information?
Yeah, in April 2018, well, let me back up. Connor McCaffrey joined the Iowa basketball program as a walk-on. And April 2018, it was announced that Connor would be rewarded with a scholarship beginning with the 18-19 season.
Basketball. So the math does make sense. 319-366-1600. As we go from basketball to football, we'll talk some more basketball with Mike Colas as well as some football coming up here in just a little bit. Iowa ends a two-game losing streak over as they beat Purdue, 26-20 on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. Not the prettiest win in the world, but hey, how often have Iowa wins been pretty over the years at times? And I don't think Kirk Ferentz is going to trade this one in for a newer, better model. I think he was just happy to get out of there with a victory.
No, it wasn't an A performance in my mind, but it essentially was a two-touchdown victory. Purdue scored late to make it 26-20, and I don't think the outcome was much in doubt throughout the second half. I don't remember for sure, but I think it's an illustration of how the Iowa receivers have evolved. I think Iowa receivers caught 18 of the 23 completions that Nate Stanley had. And I thought Nate Stanley had a pretty decent game.
Thought he did too.
The running game and the offensive line still has issues and hasn't had that big breakout game in Big Ten play yet. And maybe it won't. I don't know. I thought the defense played largely winning football. And sound like Kirk Ferentz, right? Anytime you can get a Big Ten victory is a good thing. Just ask Wisconsin.
Oh, man. That is still the craziest thing ever, that Wisconsin fell to Illinois this weekend.
31-point underdog.
31-point underdog. The Champagne Five lets you know right away after the ball game that Illinois is still on track for a bowl bid, correct?
My buddy Bruce called me from the stadium in Champaign moments after that game concluded.
Congratulations to Bruce, by the way, for being one of the people wearing orange and blue at the stadium
on
Saturday because there were more red and white than there was orange and blue.
He was very happy and actually stunned, I think. But you got to feel good for Lovie Smith, don't you? You don't have to, but I felt good for him.
Why not? They played Michigan straight
up,
too.
He's probably on his way out.
Well, is that a job saver for Lovey? I mean, you Illinois has put together six pretty good quarters in a row. They outplayed Michigan in that second half the week prior, and then they beat Wisconsin. He's got to keep it going, but there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel now for Illinois football.
Played a lot of young players last year, and obviously they're a year more seasoned, and well, you didn't see that coming, though, did you?
No.
Nobody did.
Nobody saw that one coming. 319-366-1600. What I thought was great about the Iowa win, the defense was very, very good again. Purdue's going to score points, and they got 20 of them, and probably could have had a little bit more, but the Iowa defense came up big at times. Some adjustments made at halftime. Some different personnel in there. We saw Belton go in, I guess, as the cash guy even though he is not listed on the two deep as a catch guy this week. Riley Moss came back in. Hankins got benched in the second half, took it very well, came out for the post-game interviews, and it doesn't mean he's never going to play again. But, hey, any depth in the secondary is good depth out there. Moss came in, and trust me, Purdue knew when 33 came into the game because they remember him from last year. Iowa also started doubling on David Bell, who is going to be terrific. Iowa fans knew that. Iowa coaches knew that because he chose Purdue over Iowa. Terrific receiver out of Indianapolis who had, 13 receptions in the game. He was marvelous. But Iowa made some very good adjustments at halftime, went to double-team Bell, brought some different personnel in. I thought Jack Campbell was really good in the middle. He burned his red shirt. That was his fifth game that he has played in. Dylan Doyle also did a good job, I thought, in the middle. Christian Welch is going to be out this week again, so you're going to see Campbell and Doyle flip-flop back and forth and play that linebacker position right there. But they had the kid from Ames, the walk-on, Evans in there at defensive end a few times.
John Wagoner.
John Wagoner got the sack, the Dowling kid. Mm-hmm. They played a bunch of guys on the defensive side of the ball against Purdue.
Now, Purdue missing Rondale Moore, that's for sure, right?
Yes.
But David Bell is going to make a lot of people look foolish in his career. Wonderful, wonderful receiver. I think Plummer slightly underthrew the ball that Riley Moss intercepted. Still a good play on Moss's part. But Bell is one terrific player. Purdue with no hint of a running game, and that made them very one-dimensional. And Iowa knew it and adjusted for it.
Yep. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Steve in Cedar Rapids. Wants to chime in on the Iowa football team from Saturday. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I had a question. I was at the game, actually in the alumni band, sitting in the south stands. And can you tell me how many injuries we actually have where guys are out right now?
Good question. Brandon Smith is not going to play. He is not listed on the two deep for the game against Northwestern.
You mentioned Christian Welch.
He is out. Christian Welch will not be back coming up this week as well. And other than that, I don't think there were too many serious problems.
How do you think Jackson is doing since he's come back at tackle?
I thought he had a decent game. I thought he had a decent game against Purdue. I thought he was a lot sharper than he was in the Michigan game, but that goes without saying because he got one game under his belt. That's why I would love to have seen him against Middle Tennessee.
Steve, I think it's been a mixed bag. I really do.
Well, it just seems like we aren't running the stretch play much these days.
Nope.
Or the bubble screen. It's like, okay, is there something missing on the offensive line?
Yeah. Well, that it's a continued rotation.
Well, you got
there.
New guys in the middle with Tyler Linderbaum in his first year of starting.
And the two guards are new.
Kellenberger in his second start last Saturday. Landon Paulson is a relatively new starter. It's those tackles, Steve, that you would think would be maybe not dominant, but pretty consistently very, very good.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not seeing what I would expect. The other thing I had for you guys, since I was sitting in the south end zone, Purdue was down on, their own 10-yard line, and they threw, a 50-yard bomb right down the middle of the field. And we watched it, okay? And I was watching our number 28, the safety, and it's like he was just standing there watching the ball go over his head, you know, and into the arms of the Purdue receiver. And I thought, well, we can see that happening. What were you thinking Purdue was going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, run the ball with not much time left? It's like, okay, is our safety not that good, or was that a surprise to somebody, or was it that great receiver they have? I can't even remember who caught the ball.
Well, the safety you referred to is Jack Kerner, who is a walk-on, has been moved into that starting lineup, and he I think he's largely been pretty good. But that was a curious play in my mind as well, Steve, and I don't know whether you attribute it to underwhelming defensive play or a great catch.
Or bad communication in the backfield.
Great catch and throw. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looked like, well, you're the last guy. Why aren't you running backwards?
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, who knows? So how do you think we're going to do against Northwestern?
Northwestern right now is it's a pretty big dumpster fire. Doesn't mean they I've said it many, many times. They are the purple zombies. They will they will come out of nowhere and look great. And you just hope it's not this Saturday if you're an Iowa Hawkeye fan out there. But it was another dismal performance on Friday night.
I've watched them enough to know that when we have a 13-point lead against them, that makes me feel really bad because they are a score and a onside kick and another score away from the victory. They've done it before.
Yep, yeah, that's right.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
333. Real quick, before we get to a break, Iowa State, a great win. Breece Hall, newcomer of the week again for the Cyclones, almost 200 yards rushing. And Iowa State into the AP poll this week at number 23. They're back.
Don't know what
in.
The coaches are thinking.
Well, you don't know what the grad assistants are thinking at this point. And but Iowa State right now is playing really, really good football.
Yep, game against Oklahoma State this week, and Iowa State could, be bowl eligible. I know that there's bigger fish to fry.
There are bigger fish to fry.
That's on the horizon this week. And Iowa and Iowa State both favored this week.
So is Indiana.
Indiana could get bowl eligible.
Indiana at Lincoln to take on Nebraska, and they are a favorite. And UNI with a big win as well over South Dakota. Great to see all the South Dakota Iowa kids playing for South Dakota. It was nice to see, and wish them success after the UNI game.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. Mike Loss is going to join us. Plenty to discuss with Mike, and we'll do it when we come back.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-388-1778. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-388-1778. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-388-1778. 1-800-388-1778.
Back in the gym class, 336 for a Monday here in KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Cyclone Coaches Show comes up at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. It'll be the New England Patriots trying to remain unbeaten, taking on the New York Jets. Mondays on the gym class mean Mondays with Mike. And Mike Loss joining us right now from the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. And we encourage you to give him a follow at Loss on Twitter. And, a much needed, we'll start with football because there's a ton of basketball to talk about as well, but a much needed Iowa win on Saturday. They don't give extra W's for being pretty, but tell you what, it was pretty enough for Kirk Ferentz, I know.
Yeah, they were happy. I mean, the happiest people around for winning that game was the team. For whatever, you know, indifference that may have been shown publicly or in the media, It seemed pretty important and pretty great to the team, which there should be a lesson there somewhere, I think. The other team does try, and Purdue, I think, is – Purdue's playing a bunch of kids. I mean, Purdue played a lot of freshmen in important spots Saturday, but they're well coached, they're talented, they haven't bagged the season, and so any win is a good win in the Big Ten, and especially, you know, when you've lost two in a row, and if you lose that one, the whole world's written you off. Mathematically, it keeps things, certain things alive as you, you know, inch your way toward November, and so that's good, I guess.
Yeah, ask Wisconsin if any win is a good win after last weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other team does try. It's a hard thing sometimes for everybody to remember, but Illinois didn't simply say, well, Wisconsin, you're the king of the world. We're just, you know, going to bow to you and roll over. And the best teams don't always come out with their best game someday. So that's why we watch this stuff, because as much as we think we know, or as much as we think we know what's going to happen, you never really know.
Mike, you and your colleagues all gave Iowa a B grade on this team. What was above average to you for the Hawkeyes?
I thought the special teams was well above average, and I thought that even though they gave up 20 points defensively, it was another really good game. A lot of the points and yards came late, and some of the points were turnover-aided. I just thought that I never thought Iowa was going to lose that game. Not at one moment during that game did I think that Purdue was going to take that game from them. So I thought it was just, you know, it was solid B. It wasn't a game that I even remember right now very well, and I'm sure I'll forget very soon. But, you know, it's recapture a little bit of momentum and see what you can do from here on out.
I really like the defense. I'm with you on that, and I like two things. Number one, the adjustments made at halftime, started finding David Bell with a lot more double teams. Riley Moss came in and really helped.
Yeah.
And then Iowa played a bunch of guys on defense, guys you hadn't seen a whole lot, and that included, of course, Jack Campbell and Dylan Doyle filling in for Christian Welsh there.
No, you're absolutely right. And Riley Moss gave him something. I mean, he obviously picked off a pass, but it had been a long time since we'd seen him in a meaningful role. And, you know, he looked like a player who said, I'm healthy now and I'm going to play. And he played quite well.
Mike, I want to get your take on the running back position, because Tyler Goodson, clearly, all you have to do is watch the games. He makes plays, but he is a true freshman. And I think I tweeted out something like, quit being nice to Mekhi Sargent and Torrin Young and get this guy on the field more. But Kirk Ferentz is a loyal guy. Not that those two guys are bad players, but it's clear to me that Goodson is much more of a playmaker.
Yeah, he had 5 carries for 6 yards. And I don't know what you want to credit that to, Purdue's defense or Goodson not getting enough carries to get the kind of momentum that he'd had in the last few weeks. And, you know, it seemed like, yeah, they're just hung up on Sargent and nothing was happening for Sargent at all. But then late in the game, Sargent busts off a couple of long runs and seems to justify the decision. The team had 2.8 yards a carry Saturday against Purdue. 3.1, I'm sorry. They're averaging 2.8 in the Big Ten. And that's not good. That's not good. I mean, and you know that the Michigan and Penn State defenses skewed that. But 3.1 against Purdue is not good. They crept above 100 yards. And that's going to bite them. If that running game doesn't improve, I think it's going to bite them and they're going to lose a game that they shouldn't lose. I'm not sure what that would be right now, but you've I mean, look, they're not going to have Brandon Smith Saturday, and he was terrific against Saturday against Purdue. I mean, he was really, really good. The last couple weeks, he's looked as good to me as any Iowa receiver I've seen in a long time. So you're not going to have Smith, and I know that Northwestern is, you know, 0-4 in the Big Ten and so forth, but they still have some capable defensive players, and you're going to want to score more than 10 or 13 points over there.
Yeah, and we had a caller a little bit earlier on that also kind of gave this this sentiment as well, that Northwestern's kind of, I call them the purple zombies because they seem to rise from the dead all the time, and you just never know when it's going to happen. If you're Kirk Ferentz, you hope that is not Saturday.
Boy, they were bad last Friday.
They have been bad all year.
Ohio State makes you look that way, but I couldn't. I mean, I tried to watch that game and I just couldn't because it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, and they have not been good all year.
Yeah, they haven't been. And some years just kind of go that way when you're not a superpower. I mean, this is a team that the past 2 years, if I'm doing the math in my head, but okay, they were 7-2 and 8-1 or in the conference, 15-3 over 2 years, and that is that's really, really, really good. Okay, well, this year it's not happening for them. They're 0-4, and their offense is just a mess. I mean, whatever could go wrong for that offense has gone wrong. They've used three different quarterbacks. One got hurt and is done. The guy that transferred in from Clemson, Hunter Johnson, didn't give him anything. And so they're on number three. They've thrown two touchdown passes this season, which is tied for last in the country. And it's just all come undone. They don't score points at all. So going in there against Iowa's defense, you got to think this. I mean, I'm hearing people say, yeah, Iowa's a favorite, but blah, 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 you know, and because Northwestern's had their number. But to me, you can't lose this game if you're Iowa. If you lose this game, I think that a lot of people are just going to throw their arms in the air and say, this season is just not all that it should have been.
Michael Oss joining us on the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:45. With Illinois' win over Wisconsin, things in the West got a little bit more interesting going into the back half of the Big Ten season. Minnesota, there they are. Love them or not, undefeated, and one game lead over Wisconsin. Iowa, I guess, is back in the mix a little bit, but certainly that field goal in Champaign helped out some folks in the West.
Yeah, it makes Wisconsin look mortal, and Wisconsin plays at Ohio State Saturday, so you're practically penciling in a second straight loss for them. I certainly am. The Minnesota factor is, well, Minnesota plays at Iowa. The week before Minnesota plays at Iowa, it's got Penn State at home. And then Minnesota would still have to play Wisconsin in Minneapolis. So, yeah, I mean, look, if Iowa wins out, it's going to win the division, barring something unbelievable, which would be Minnesota winning the rest of its games other than Iowa. But, you know, that thing at Wisconsin on November 9th, that's still pretty formidable. Mm-hmm. And that assumes that Iowa beats Northwestern this week for it to matter as much as Iowa hopes it'll matter. But, you know, these 12-game seasons, as the narrative changes and changes again and changes again, so Iowa's got to worry about what's on its plate this week. I'm sounding like a coach by saying that. But if it wins a road game at Evanston, a team it's lost to 3 years in a row, then when it goes to Wisconsin, it is a deeply meaningful game. And then we'll see what Iowa's all about.
Do you really want to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with Mike.
Absolutely is the correct answer. You play to win. You play to win your division. You play to get to the championship game. You know, look, if you go there and Ohio State, you know, treats you like a rag doll, okay. But at least you get a, you know, you got a division championship to show for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. It's, you know, I'm sure for Iowa, it's been hard sitting at home in 2016, 17, and 18 and watching somebody else play in that game.
About Iowa State, a nice win on the road and comes home against Oklahoma State. You know, these days it's a minor thing for Iowa State to clinch a bowl bid. Maybe not a minor thing, but a bigger fish to fry. And that's what's at stake heading into a tough stretch that includes Oklahoma, Texas after this one. So I think they found a running back, didn't they, Mike?
Clearly.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, what? How many total yards did he have Saturday?
Oh, 200 and something.
Over 200, yeah.
It was pushing 300.
Yeah.
I mean, 180 something rushing, and then he had a few catches for, you know,
70 or 80
yards.
Yeah.
What a find in the nick of time, because the thing that they needed was a running game, and the last 2 weeks they've had one. This is a team that I think is one of the 15 best teams in the country. The last 3 weeks, they've won by double digits over programs that have all had some glory in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it started with TCU, and TCU was on the verge of a playoff berth not that long ago and has been a consistent winner. They manhandled TCU. They go to West Virginia, and I know West Virginia's down this year, but it's a program that's done a lot of winning in this decade. And in the second half, Iowa State dominated them. And then they go to Texas Tech, which is a tough place to play. It's a team Iowa State's fared well against. But it's, you know, a lot of teams have gone to Texas Tech and gotten beat. And Iowa State jumped on them and didn't cough up the lead and beat them by 10 points. And put up a lot of yards. And here you are with three in a row, and you've got Oklahoma State, and you're looking for four Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another program that has done some – I mean, that had three – Oklahoma State had three straight 10-win seasons before last year. Iowa State is passing up a lot of Big 12 programs. And it's one of those things that you don't realize it's happening until, you know, hey, it's happened.
Yeah.
So they got to get Oklahoma State, and if they do, then they go on a bye week just like Iowa does next week, and you start looking at back-to-back biggies at Oklahoma and Texas at home. And, you know, you can dream of possibilities.
Yeah.
And you can't say that there's no way they could win at Oklahoma
because
they did it the last time they went there. And you know, nationally, Iowa State's offensive numbers they're pretty high. Brock Purdy, I think, is in the top five in the country in passing yardage, and now they've added a running game to go with it. So, very interested to see what this Iowa State team can do with the rest of the schedule, because the last 3 weeks, it has I think transformed its image for this season.
And to think the losses were by 1 and 2 points.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's got to be maddening over there, what could have been. But, you know, the Baylor thing, they were behind 20-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they lost by a last-second field goal, but it wasn't, you know, Baylor's unbeaten. And the Iowa game, Iowa wins by 1 point. Iowa State outgains them by over 100 yards, but Iowa played a cleaner game and won and deserved to win. So, but they don't live in the past there, and that's kind of been their MO. They've been slow starters under Campbell, but once the season gets going, so do they.
We got to talk a little basketball before we let you go. The Murray Twins committing to Iowa today, a day after Indiana prep. Tony Perkins gives his commitment to the Hawkeyes. Xavier Foster is still out there. Iowa could be, I guess, in the best case scenario, one over the scholarship limit next year. But a lot of moving parts over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, three commitments in basically a day or a two-day period. You know these Murrays as well as anybody, I'm guessing, Scott. What do you tell me? I've seen him play a couple of times. But you tell me, Big Ten players?
I think Fran McCaffrey is banking on the fact that they can be Big Ten players 2 or 3 years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
The sky is the limit. I think for these guys, they're still growing. They're very good shooters. Very good shooters from three-point range. And at 6'8", 6'9", they're hard to guard out at the three-point range. They got to get bigger. They got to get stronger. There's no doubt about that.
And they've got the frames to do that, don't they?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, we all saw Kenyon play. I mean, I saw Keegan and Chris play a couple of times, and I just thought that they had a lot of basketball savvy.
Yes.
Sometimes that doesn't translate from high school to college like you think it will, but, this might turn out to be a red letter day in Hawkeye basketball. I think there's a lot of potential there.
You met BJ Armstrong when he was back. He's an ageless one, and he's often a delight. Did he remember your voice or your face?
First, it was the voice. Yeah, I don't know. You know,
What'd he say?
I can't stand the sound of my own voice. I really can't. When I transcribe tape, I just hate it. I don't know why you have me on the radio. I don't know how people can stand to listen to this. And I'm being sincere.
Yeah, the text line just lit up.
No, I'm just kidding.
But, we go back a long way. I covered him when we were both young. And there were some mighty memorable days and nights in those few years.
Still looks like he's a senior in college.
Yeah. Well, some people are lucky. what impresses me about him is he had this basketball career, and after it ended, it could have been like, okay, I'm good. You know, I'm set. He plays for, I think, 9-10 years in the NBA. He was in an all-star game, three world champions, you know, the litany of that stuff. But then he's still young, and he goes into the Bulls front office. He does some stuff for ESPN. Then he becomes an agent, and despite what you might think from Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson and HBO, there aren't very many former athletes who then become agents. But he's become one and become a very good one, and he's working for Wasserman, which is just an all-powerful agency out of Los Angeles. Represents Zach Johnson among, you know, 1,000 clients of other clients, and Armstrong's represented Derrick Rose, I think, his whole pro career.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other guys. And that just impresses me, you know, that this guy's 52 and when he could be, you know, in Bora Bora or something, enjoying the fruits of his labors, he just, he wants to do. He wants to be. And I like people like that.
Yeah.
It was a good weekend with B.J. Armstrong and Bob Sanders back. That's about as good as it gets.
Bob Sanders sure resonates with people, too. Yeah. Oh, man.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
And that's what the essence of all this is you're talking about two guys who gave people memories. And that's what basically, in a nutshell to me, what sports is all about. Memories, you know, moments.
And good ones. Very good ones right there. Mike, appreciate it. Always look forward to talking with you on Mondays, and we'll do so again next week.
Well, if you'll have me back.
We will have you back, voice and all. Thanks. Michael Haas, read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter at Haas. Quick break, come back, and we'll wrap her up after this.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Back with you to wrap things up on the Gym Class. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn comes your way next from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock on these very same airwaves. We have a poll question presented by Emil's Hideaway.
Go to KGYMradio.com and find it there. Do you feel better or worse about Iowa football after Saturday's win? Three choices: better, worse, or feelings haven't changed.
Go ahead and vote. KGYMradio.com, and we'll get those votes tallied throughout local programming over the next 3 hours.
Speaking of Emil's Hideaway, the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, Week 8 results are in.
Yes.
Scott Unash with a perfect 6-0 record. The Gym Class, 15-3.
It's a big week.
On the week. Josh and Ely, please give us a call. Kyle Mann wants to visit with you. Josh and Ely is the winner of the $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway, and we'll make more picks next Friday.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Does that mean you,
Josh,
buy lunch for everybody? You're 6-0?
No, that's not how it works.
Okay.
That is not how it works. All right. Cal Eldred will join us tomorrow on the program, and we also will talk some Northwestern football tomorrow.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD.